Sports is Fun on CITR 101.9. CITR.
These are the sounds of days that are past.
Chick in the door, waving the 4-4, K's in the floorboard, stays in the Waldorf. I will board a jet cheap, fly to where you for sure to get deep, to show your crew my immortal technique. I'll elaborate. 16 pistols and extendals hidden inside of 3 or 4 1200 crates. If we at war, I'll exaggerate. Sweep up the streets to the clip clean. Shoot you while
welcome to Sports is Fun.
Hey.
This is Sean and Ethan. We're back.
How are you doing today?
I'm okay. We recovered. We're trying to recover from last week.
Yeah, today we got an extreme show.
Extremely recorded show.
An educational show, too. We have our friend Omar will come on and tell us about Champions League. For example, what is it?
Yeah, what sport
Why
do they play?
It? Yeah, exactly. I know it's about feet.
Champions
of
what?
Ball. I don't know. And we're going to have a huge week in sports, actually.
Massive.
I truly think it was a huge week in sports. So we'll get to that in a second. First things first, for this we apologize. Everything.
Yeah.
Everything last week on our Fun Drive show.
Well, we're not sorry for the donations that we got.
Yeah,
I think we got
true.
$6 in the end.
And like 30 total, so thanks to everyone.
Yeah.
That's actually awesome.
And congrats to Conrad Welty for winning that jersey.
Yeah. Congrats. Wear it proud. If we were to do for this, we apologize for every little mistake. We only have like a half hour time, so we wouldn't even be able to do it.
The whole show was
everything.
The last show was an apology in itself, honestly.
Exactly. As they say now in sports, we're on to Cincinnati.
We are.
We're on to episode 6, and here we are. With that being said, we do hope that you accept that, listeners. With that being said, let's recap. Let's start with NFL. Huge.
Yeah, really crazy week.
Yeah, we had about 3 trades, player for player trades,
massive
right?
trades
that never happens in the NFL, and huge signings.
Graham went to Seattle. Yeah. Who else got traded?
Nick Foles for Sam Bradford, straight up.
Nagata got traded to Detroit.
They said you Nagata go.
A lot of big signings. Free agency started. So Revis went back to the Jets on a huge deal.
Yeah, massive.
Huge. Like
massive deal.
I'm happy the Patriots didn't sign him for that much money. Like
the Jets,
how are they going to pay anyone else to play there? That like
doesn't matter.
He's making over
Jets.
10% of their payroll, I think, like about per year.
Yeah,
like,
it's I don't know. It's crazy. It's always cool to see how the teams who lose their stars to free agency. Sorry, a little burp there. How they replace that player? Because a lot of the time, it's not like if you lose a great cornerback, you don't go out and sign one. Like Seattle, for example. Lost Ben Maxwell. He's a cornerback, right?
Yeah, he's I wouldn't call him a great cornerback.
He's
solid.
He's really good.
He's solid.
Underrated. Anyhow, they go and they make a huge acquisition for a tight end. So you see a lot of the time a switch from defense to offense, offense to defense, in the identity of the team. If Russell Wilson was as good as they say, they would have just a deadly offense. But that remains to be seen.
Well, I think they will. Like it's gonna be. They traded their starting center, and he's a really good center, Max Unger.
Yeah.
Like, so their run game's gonna hurt. But think about all of the seam routes that they ran last year to players like Curse, just like these up the middle.
Yeah.
Like imagine Graham in the middle there. Like that's going to be crazy.
What is he, 6'7"?
Something like that. He has a huge vertical. He's a basketball player. Like,
yeah.
Their offense, and I don't think they plan on having Marshawn Lynch beyond next year based on the way his contract is.
No? Like, well, it was a 2-year contract, right?
It's true, but most of the guaranteed money is in the first part of the contract, I want to say. He's more cuttable in the second year.
Yeah.
So...
My favorite team, the Dolphins, they signed Domokong Su.
Yeah, huge contract.
Massive contract. It's one of those contracts that is kind of bittersweet. It's like, oh, well, we don't have any money anymore.
Like the Revis contract. It's almost like the teams in the AFC East, besides the Patriots, are spending way too much money on players that maybe they shouldn't spend that much money on. It's like they're desperately grasping at straws to catch up with the Patriots.
Yeah, but at the same rate, the Patriots aren't getting any better when you lose Revis and you lose even Vereen.
I don't know.
Vereen on the Giants.
Well, they'll have money to spend around. You know,
But
the Patriots will still make the AFC... Not necessarily the championship game, but they'll still make it. They don't have to.
That goes without saying.
They don't have to throw money at players like that. So,
but the AFC East is now probably one of the more interesting divisions.
Oh, definitely.
Just like it used to be.
Well, this next year it'll be the most competitive of the upcoming years because the way contracts work, you're paying players for past performance. So, Sue is only going to get worse. Presumably, he's only he's going to live up to his contract.
He's going to go out in the heat of South Beach, and maybe he'll get a little tired, a little easier. from the Sun, and maybe he'll be like, well, I already made $60 million.
And just maybe he can just, like, quit.
We're not going to make the playoffs.
He could engineer.
Yeah, he has a degree in engineering. Who knew?
Yeah, I didn't.
Who knew? He could honestly go out and have a real good, like, regular person job.
Some other big signings.
That's more than we can say.
I see Andre Johnson signed with the Colts, I want to say.
Did he?
Yeah, and Frank Gore.
Yeah, I saw Frank Gore.
Yeah, the Colts are going to be scary next year. Their offense is already good.
The inconvenient truth, Frank Gore. Yeah, I like how he rolled the Eagles like that. Like, one day it said, like, Frank Gore to sign with the Eagles, confirmed.
Yeah, and then it was like, well, Frank Gore's thinking it over.
The Colts are doing well for themselves because they were so one-dimensional, and that's exactly what they're treating now.
Rest in peace, Trent Richardson.
He died?
No, well.
Oh. Yeah,
I mean, his career died.
His career died a long time ago.
But now it's officially dead in the water, I think.
Pour a little out for Jake Locker, announced his retirement.
And
he was 8th overall draft pick in 2011.
Yeah, he was, like, a lot of people thought he would go earlier in that draft, too. There was a lot of hype behind him, I remember.
Yeah, he just never really... Maybe if the Titans don't draft him, they get drafted by a team with a little bit of a better O-line.
Yeah, he doesn't get beat up.
And then he doesn't get beat up like that, and you never know. But I guess you can say the same about lots of players in lots of sports. Anyhow, yeah, we're looking forward to see how the rest of the free agent...
One more. The Eagles-Rams trade, just because that was such a...
Bradford Foles. Right?
Yeah, I don't understand how the Eagles gave up more for Bradford than the Rams did for Foles. Like, Foles is on a cheaper contract.
Oh, Bradford's better.
Yeah, but he hasn't played, like, a full season. Like, he's torn both of his ACLs.
Yeah, whatever.
Like, he I just don't get it. I just don't understand it at all.
I don't know either, but only time will tell.
Yeah.
I think it was sort of a fresh start type deal.
And Foles played well last year before he got hurt. He played really well the year before, too.
Also, earlier today, Hoyer, the Destroyer, is now on the Texans.
Yeah, I saw that. They have him and another...
Mallett?
Yeah, two former Brady backups. No, they just traded Fitzpatrick to the Jets today.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Jets are making moves. And the Jets got Brandon Marshall.
Yeah, I saw that. Fitzpatrick will be shitty on another team now.
Yeah. he'll throw interceptions. I mean, we don't have anyone to intercept it. I say we, the Patriots.
Yeah.
As we didn't, we cut Browner, too.
Yeah, I saw that. They said explore your options somewhere else.
Well, they said we're not going to pay you what you want, so...
Yeah. Deservedly so. I wouldn't pay him much either.
Well, he was really good last year, but only because Revis took away the team's best option, and he got to usually get matched up on a smaller receiver and just kind of beat them up and not let them play. Mm-hmm. He only works if you have the luxury of taking away their best receiver. If not, if he's forced to, like, play against the best receiver or the second best even, you know, he's going to get outskilled. He's going to get calls against him. It's only when he has, like, the extreme physical advantage that he's a beast, and he was a beast.
Yeah, that's true. You're right.
I know.
I'm wrong. Just a quick little thing before we go to our first break. Moving over to the basketball courts. Hearty congratulations to our women's team.
Yeah.
The T-Girls. They won the Canada West championship.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, they came first.
Think we could get one of them on the show?
I think they actually had an undefeated season.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and it's still going because they're in the final eight now for Canada. So maybe they'll win nationals.
I believe.
Yeah, once their season's over, we'll get one on the show, provided that they've never listened to the show, because I don't think they would want to come on if they knew what they were getting themselves into.
What do you mean?
I don't know. It's just we're not that cool.
We're pretty single.
Yeah, well, there you go.
So next.
But there's a reason for that.
Well, yeah. I'm very busy with school.
Yeah, and it's time for a break.
Okay.
The Cat's Pajamas, a phrase to describe something super awesome or cool. The Cat's Pajamas, a super awesome and cool radio show featuring the latest and greatest indie pop, rock, and more from Vancouver and beyond. The Cat's Pajamas, every Friday at 10 to 11 a.m. at CITR 101.9 FM.
All right, hey, we're back. It's time for a discussion.
What are we talking about?
Today, we're going to talk about what does a sports team mean to a city? What does it do for a city?
Okay.
Sort of in general terms, but I'm sure we'll use examples. So I guess I'll kick it off. The most obvious thing, I think, in my opinion, is you put a city on a map, on the map, when you get a sports team, right? For example, if your team was called the Boston Red Sox,
okay,
then and that was your only sports team, hypothetically,
okay,
people would be like, "Oh, Boston! Like I know the Red Sox."
And why is that beneficial?
Because well, it attracts tourists
okay,
somewhat,
yeah.
But also it makes people who are fans or who are interested in the team, they'll be like, "Oh, Boston has this. What else do they have?" You know, and then maybe you realize that it's actually a gem of a city. Maybe you want to go. Maybe even businesses will want to go eventually.
So you're saying economic reasons, basically.
Yeah, I mean, that's what the whole thing boils down to.
Well, that's what everything boils down to.
Exactly.
Economics, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Any further thoughts on that point, or do you have another one?
Do you have anything else to say? I have some stuff, but I'd rather hear you out first.
Okay, reason number two. It brings a sense of community to that city.
Okay.
For example, I'm from Edmonton. We have the Oilers, and we have a CFL team as well, but the Oilers are really what the town runs on, so you'll be, like, standing in line at a Hortons or whatever. Next person behind you will be like, "Hey, you watched the Oilers game last night?"
That's what gives
for
it
example,
like a talking
yeah,
point.
Yeah, it gives the city quite the identity, which I guess is sort of putting it on the map.
It gives it, like, a sense of community, really.
Yeah, exactly. You're all on the same page about one thing.
Right. You all feel involved, like you're all invested
especially especially in smaller towns. And it's kind of like the whole like a high school football in small towns in like America.
I was going to say like I'm from Maui and Hawaii doesn't have any professional sports teams, so people are really into high school sports. People gravitate towards sports regardless of, you know, the level of the athletic play. Sports are just captivating. Sports are like they're like soap operas for men.
Yeah,
for women too.
But it's in real life. It's like
yeah, exactly. It
writes
itself.
So you really never know what's going to happen. Yeah,
it writes
itself. Soap operas, I always know.
Yeah, well, I think it writes itself, and because it's associated with your place and it's part of your identity, really. If you identify with it,
it's a bit of pride, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Your emotions go into
it,
even though you're not playing or even though you're not in the soap opera. You know, you're very invested in it.
Yeah, sports are the best.
Yeah,
sports is fun.
It's a sports world, you know?
Yeah, we just live in it.
One more thing I was going to say is, obviously, you need a venue for at least your large-scale sports.
Right.
And so that venue can really change the dynamic of a city. Like, I'm going to use my city, for example. We have a new arena going up set to start in, I think, 2016. And it was downtown, very far away from the arena we use right now for the Oilers, and already you have hotel plans, bars going up.
Wow.
Already our downtown is turning into, like, right now it's just a bunch of, like, it's a financial district, it's totally for businesses, but it's, you can already see it's turning into a really lively, like, vibrant place, and it's, obviously that's really good for a city to have, is like a highly touted downtown area, you know, where young people can go, but old people can go as well.
Where people can go and spend money.
Yeah, exactly. So so the new, you know, it's make the beehive, it'll attract the bees, you know?
Well, what do you think of sports teams who try to, like, the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim or the New England Patriots, these teams that are located in one place that try to, like, maximize their brand by, like, pushing the limits of where they are associated. What do you think of that phenomenon? Because
you mean teams that sort of take over more region rather than
so, you know, the Patriots are in Foxborough, which is like middle of nowhere Massachusetts, basically, but, you know, they because they're New England, you have people in Maine supporting them, you have people in New Hampshire supporting them, and if you're supporting them, then you're more likely to get, you know, tied into like the Red Sox or other teams from a similar
I think it's brilliant.
It's
why
smart.
Not right. If you can do it, then sure. And a lot of places, like, for example, New York has how many teams? Like 7 Big Four sports teams?
Let's think. They have 2 football teams, 2 baseball, 2 basketball.
No, one basketball.
Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah, I guess that
Brooklyn
counts. So now they have 8.
Now they have 8. They have 2 for each sport.
Yeah, and so that's the opposite, right? It's not like one team for a spread out area. It's very condensed, but I think that's different because it's New York.
There's so
right?
many people, right? So
yeah. And New York's just—I don't know. It's just crazy.
It's not an example of a sane place where things make sense or follow rules.
No, yeah. I don't know. I really like the teams, like the Patriots, for example. Their fan base is so spread out. I think it's pretty cool.
Well, I mean, part of the reason it's spread out is because they've been successful, and that's a lot of bandwagoning, and also if you just have limited exposure. So, for example, like, your 7-year-old in the year 2015, and you watch the Super Bowl for the first time, and you watch the Patriots win. You're from Montana or somewhere. You're going to become a Patriots fan. Like, I have friends in,
yeah,
I have a friend in Maui who was a big fan of the Rams because he watched them win the Super Bowl against Tennessee way back when, and he went on to become a St. Louis Cardinals fan, and like, he just roots for all St. Louis teams, even though he has no real association with St. Louis. He's been there once for a birthday trip to watch the St. Louis Cardinals play.
And I bet if he like goes out to a party or something, or even just to the superstore or whatever, and he sees a guy wearing a Rams hat, he's going to say, nice hat or something.
Yeah.
And they're going to have a little bit of a, I guess, interaction, which they wouldn't normally have. I remember I used to have a Dolphins hat because I liked the colors. I was like 4 years old. I was like, oh, I like Dolphins. That's cool. I had no idea what
like
it was.
I used to think the Sharks were really cool as a kid because I was like, Sharks. Like, look at them eating the stick. Yeah, right. Yeah.
And, yeah, so I'm a Dolphins fan to this day.
Yeah, it's sports are weird like that, you know?
Yeah. But, yeah, so I guess in summary, having a sports team in your city is good.
Sports is
very good.
Sports is good. Sports is fun.
You look at teams or cities like, I guess, Baltimore when they lost the Colts, Winnipeg when they lost the Jets. Luckily, those two examples have a team back now, but like, it really just devastates the city.
Well, speaking of devastation, what about when the Canucks lost the Stanley Cup? We can pick one times.
That was a bad.
Sports is bad.
That was when. Yeah, so.
So, man.
It's sports. I think let's just end it up.
Sports is great.
Sports is fun.
I can get behind that.
Yeah. All right.
Can you get behind this quick commercial break?
Let's find out.
Are you not sure where to go on campus? Traveling late at night and afraid to go alone? Call SafeWalk, a free service where a co-ed team will take you anywhere you need to go on campus. Don't walk alone. For a walk, add SafeWalk to your phone. Call 604-822-5355. That's 604-822-5355. Alternatively, use a UBC Blue phone and ask for SafeWalk. Approach any SafeWalk team or drop by our office on the main floor of the sub across from the gallery lounge. Because you're mine, I
walk the line. All right, and we're back. We have a special guest here named Omar. Omar, how are you doing?
I'm good today, Ethan. How are you?
I'm good. Sean is just on a short leave of absence. We're going to see if we're going to let him back if he tries to interrupt.
It's a big if.
Mm-hmm. So, Omar, you're here to educate.
We need to educate and teach some of our fans.
The murky waters of North American understanding of Champions League football.
Exactly. I hear someone at the door.
Is it him?
It's our friend Sean.
Sean's back in the studio, everyone.
His leave of absinthe is
pull
over.
Pull up a chair. Yeah, his leave of absinthe has come to an end. We're just going to keep rolling because this is all gold.
Sounds good.
So my first question for you would be, how does it work?
The Champions League
itself. Because, first of all, it happens in between their seasons, right?
Yeah. Not in between. So. It starts almost at the same time when the normal season starts domestically in Europe, which is from August to May.
Okay.
The final is usually the last game in European football, apart from some of the winter countries like Ukraine and Russia. The Champions League has changed format twice in the 90s. Used to be completely different before 1997, completely, than we know it, and then 2003. Since 2003, the Champions League is basically constituted of a group stage of 4 teams per group, 8 groups. Top 2 qualify to the next round. The third place team qualifies to the sister tournament, the uglier sister. It's called the Europa League. The way it works is from the second round, there are 16 teams. You play 2 legs, and they take the aggregate scores. You play a home game and an away game. And then you qualify to the quarterfinals, semis, and then the final.
What if there's a tie after the first 2 games?
Assuming both teams scored the exact same number of goals away from home, so a 2-2 and a 2-2, then the game goes to extra time and penalties after the second game.
So it's totally like all or nothing?
Yes.
So even if the game ends and it's 3-1, if it was 3-1 in the first game for the opposite team, then they just go to extra time?
If it was 3-1 in the first game and the second game?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well...
Absolutely, yeah, because the way it works is aggregate goals. It's away goals. If you score, the score is tied after 2 games, after 180 minutes, and both teams scored the exact same number of goals away from home, it's tied. Because when you score away from home...
It's harder, right?
it counts as two goals if the scores are tied in the end. So let's assume Chelsea and Paris Saint-Germain, for example, are playing right now. The first game ended 1-1 in Paris, which is where Paris Saint-Germain are from. Mm-hmm. And now Chelsea are playing at home versus Paris. And if the game was to end 0-0 in Chelsea, in London, Chelsea would qualify because their away goal, counts for two.
Oh, okay. I see.
So nowadays, four teams qualify from England, four from Spain, four from Germany, the top four in the league, three from Italy, and keeps going down until some countries get one. Everyone gets at least one.
Who's the best quarterback left in the Champions League?
The best quarterback in the Champions League?
Yeah.
I'd say it's Xabi Alonso. He's the most quarterback-like player in football.
I hear he has a good arm.
Amazing
good
leg, I mean. Amazing distribution.
Nice. So where are we at right now?
Right now we're in the second round.
The round of 16?
Round of 16. There are 16 teams left.
Yeah, Studio B.
And today Chelsea and Paris Saint-Germain, like I said, are playing. It's the 84th minute. Chelsea are 1-0 up with 11 men.
So they're pretty well. They're at least going to go to extras.
Yes, unless Paris Saint-Germain get two goals.
And so that red card is just huge on them right now.
Yeah, and it's very surprising because it was Zlatan Ibrahimovic of all the people.
Yeah, their best dude, right?
Their best dude, their most famous dude, the guy who's so good, he said he'd never buy his wife a present on her birthday because she has him, you know. She has Zlatan, why buy her a present? He got sent off today.
He's almost lucky to have a wife. That man is homely.
I know.
He is a homely man.
Yep.
I guess he scores pretty goals.
He does, absolutely. Yeah.
And pretty girls, apparently.
She's older than him, way older.
Nice, older lady.
Older lady, yeah.
Nice. what do you think are a couple, surprises or, good showings so far?
From players or teams?
We'll start with teams. Like who's have there been any huge underdogs that are still in?
Porto and Basel and Monaco. Monaco shocked the world by beating Arsenal in the first leg 3-1 in London.
In Monaco?
In London, away from home.
No, but the team from Monaco, Monaco. The Principality of Monaco?
Yes, they're owned by a very, very rich Russian.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Is it the same rich Russian that owns the Nets, partly?
No.
Or is there more than one rich Russian?
There are many. There might be three. Chelsea are owned by rich Russian.
Let me write that down so I don't forget. See, we're all learning a lot today.
Many rich Russians in soccer and sports today. Absolutely.
And so who are some of the breakout players? It looks like you have a bit of a list going there.
That's why I'm here. That's what I want to talk about.
That's more than we have to plan the show.
So I've been impressed by a few players. Four of them specifically stood out because they hadn't played extensively in the Champions League beforehand. I'll start with the two Porto players. Porto is the biggest team in Portugal. Benfica fans would argue otherwise, but you know.
But they're not here.
They're not here. Porto already qualified to the quarterfinals yesterday.
So they went 2-0?
Yes.
Okay.
They beat Basel 4-0. Basel is the team that knocked out Liverpool.
That's a lot of goals to not a lot of goals.
Exactly, yeah. 4-0. They have two players that are standing out right now. One of them is Casemiro. Okay. He's a 23-year-old Brazilian on loan from Real Madrid.
Okay.
Just for a season. He's averaged the highest number of tackles in the whole tournament of 5.8 and added 3.5 interceptions per game even.
That's good because it's such a physical sport, right?
Exactly, and his position is one that's so important. And I'd like to add that David Luiz has just tied it up for PSG in his old stadium. Chelsea sold David Luiz to Paris Saint-Germain for 50 million euros, a center back.
How much was that goal worth?
That goal is worth millions, Ethan.
50?
The game is going to go to 50? Extra time, it seems. We'll see.
Cool.
Yep.
Neato.
So Casemiro is a beast when it comes to stopping and destroying attacks for the opponent. He also wins 3 fouls per game. He earns 3 fouls, doesn't give it away, which is an insane number for a defensive midfielder.
Who else you got on there?
I also got another player from his team, an Algerian, Yassine Brahimi.
Okay.
They bought him from Granada in Spain this summer. He excelled for Algeria in the World Cup 2014, where they got knocked out by Germany after extra time. And he excelled in the African Cup of Nations in January, Ethan, Sean. The guy has 5 goals and 3 assists already in 7 games. And he averages a ridiculous 4.9 dribbles per game.
Is point per game pretty unheard of in soccer? Because I know in hockey, it's like the best of the best will get a point per game.
Yeah, it's pretty unheard of, Goals, of course, Ronaldo and Messi have broken every single... unheard of.
But they're not human.
They're on roids.
Yeah, they're just
you heard it here first. Beings.
Yeah, Ethan calls it. Yep.
There's something in Ronaldo's makeup that just makes him a stronger player.
literally his makeup?
Yeah. Yeah. Literally.
Nice. Double entendre on the there.
Yassine Brahimi also earns 2.9 fouls, which is the sixth highest. His three assists have been invaluable. They came in very big games, and the guy is a free kick specialist. He'll put them in from anywhere, crosses or shots. And I've also been really impressed by Hakan Çalhanoğlu, whose name has been keen.
Can you say that slower?
Hakan
Çalhanoğlu.
Çalhanoğlu.
All right.
A Turkish 21-year-old playing for Bayer Leverkusen.
21?
21.
So we're all older than him.
Exactly.
And where does in Studio B?
Studio B is
I'd like to see
bad.
Him try doing this.
Yep. This guy is an attacking midfielder who just emerged last season with Schalke, if I'm not mistaken. Bayer Leverkusen bought him from there. He's added two assists and two goals from first seven games.
Schalke actually pulled off a huge upset yesterday. Eh?
Almost. They were going to do the unthinkable yesterday.
Didn't they win?
They won.
They won
4-3,
but they didn't get through.
Dang it.
Because
dang
we lost
it.
The first leg 2-0.
That's sad.
They came very close. Yeah. What was surprising is that Madrid got booed off the stadium yesterday. Uh-huh. Two losses in 4 days. No one's happy there.
Yeah.
What was the other loss to?
Athletic Bilbao.
Oh, okay.
We're going to play Barca in the cup final this
Bilbao
season.
Baggins.
You know what's something interesting about Bilbao since we're on the topic?
Sure.
Bilbao are in the Basque area in Spain. It's a northern western area.
Okay.
And Bilbao have never, ever bought or hired a player who's not Basque. From the Basque region.
Huh.
That cool. being said, they've never been relegated. They're one of three teams in Spain. Them, Barcelona, and Real Madrid. But they've literally never had a foreigner outside the Basque area.
Well, racism pays off sometimes.
It seems like it does.
Right, we gotta cut you off here. We'll be back after this quick break.
Hi, I'm Dan Hamhuis. On the ice, I play defense for the Vancouver Canucks. Off the ice, I've joined another team, the Canucks Autism Network. And I hope you'll join us for our family festival on Sunday, April 12th at Jack Poole Plaza. Enjoy live entertainment, food, and family-friendly activities as we celebrate World Autism Awareness Month. And best of all, it's free. So come out on April 12th and help spread awareness. To learn more, please visit CanucksAutism.ca/support. Hi, I'm Dan Hamhuis. On the ice, I play defense for the Vancouver Canucks. Off the ice, I've joined another team, the Canucks Autism Network. And I hope you'll join us for our family festival on Sunday, April 12th at Jack Poole Plaza. Enjoy live entertainment, food, and family-friendly activities as we celebrate World Autism Awareness Month. And best of all, it's free. So come out on April 12th and help spread awareness. To learn more, please visit CanucksAutism.ca/support.
Aloha, we are back.
Hi. Oh, Omar still in studio.
I'm here still.
How's the hot seat treating you?
It's very hot.
Is it warm?
It's very warm.
We
I like that.
We're just we're just closing out the show here. We got to address the mailbag as always. Slowly but
wait, hold on a second. Why can't it be a female bag?
Yeah, right.
Why do we have to
the female bag?
Why don't we just make it a bag?
You're right. Okay.
Let's that bag.
Let's see what's in the bag.
There we go.
Last week we challenged anyone out there who would play us 2v2 street ball, and we actually got a challenger.
Mm-hmm.
We will play this weekend, Eric and friend, and get your popcorn ready.
Uh-oh.
And anyone else, feel free to challenge us. If you win, you can come on the show, talk trash, even email us anything or tell us what to say on air. Could just be talking trash, and we'll read it out.
We are desperate.
Shamelessly.
We are desperate for human interaction.
We need something to do on the weekend.
Give us something.
Anything.
And this week for the mailbag, an extra proposal, we are asking all the viewer out there, or sorry, the listener out there, what is the worst sports jersey you ever owned?
And why?
And why? Obviously, worst can mean best in some sort of way. But yeah, hit us up. Sports is fun on CITR@gmail.com.
Oh, you remembered it.
Oh, we got it nice. This time. Yep. And now it's time for your favorite part.
For your consideration.
Yeah.
That's my favorite.
Anyone want to go first here? Or
I think you do.
I do.
I think you do.
Okay. Here's the situation. Storm the Wall is coming up on UBC. For those of you non-T-Birds, a.k.a. non-beauties, Storm the Wall is a team competition where what do you do? You ride around your bike.
It's like a not a triathlon, but a similar idea. Yeah. It's like multiple different athletic things, and you end jumping over, not jumping, but scaling this sort of big wall with the help of your teammates and feel good about yourselves.
So the focal point of the race is climbing up this huge wall, which doesn't have any steps on it, I don't think.
I don't think so.
I don't think so, none.
Yeah, so here is what you have to consider. There are teams of four, so the first person on your team would be yourself.
Right.
And then you have to pick a male athlete and a female athlete and a celebrity to go with. But one of them, at least one of them, has to be someone you don't want on your team. So, for example, like, the male athlete is someone you would not want on your team, and then the female athlete and celebrity would be people that would be good.
Okay.
Or just make it a team of people you don't want.
Can they be deceased?
Yeah, anyone from any time.
Oh, okay, awesome.
Don't make any insensitive jokes, so...
This is a serious question. This is no time for jokes. Exactly. Do you want to go first, Omar?
You want me to go first?
Yeah.
So, the athlete I do not want on my team?
It could be the celebrity you don't want, right?
Like, yeah, it could be any.
Just one of the teammates you'd have to...
I feel like Charlie Sheen would be the worst teammate possible.
Why?
I just feel it. I can see him just leaving midway.
Yeah, he might have a lot of energy.
Is he going to use it properly?
Well...
That we don't know.
That's the mystery of it.
To be honest, I don't want him, but I'd be curious to see how it works.
Okay, so that's your dude.
That's my wild card.
Okay.
Charlie Sheen. I think Scarlett Johansson on my team.
Who's okay. that?
Why?
No, who?
Scarlett Johansson?
I don't know who that is.
I think she's the girl with Bill Murray.
Scarlett Johansson? No, you gotta pick an athlete, Omar. You gotta pick an athlete. Only one celebrity. Two athletes, one celebrity. You can't just be taking all the celebrities.
I take Marshawn Lynch for the swimming part.
Nice. I bet he can swim. I'm
trying to kill Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah. So that was Marshawn, Scotty Johansson.
Yep.
And Charlie Sheen.
The wild card, yes.
Best of luck beating our teams.
Right, what's your team?
You can go first.
Okay. For my celebrity, it'll be someone I don't want. No, it'll be someone I do want. It'll be Korean pop star Bae Suzy. Just because something has to bring us together in life, and if this is it,
yeah, hey, if you're listening, Bae Suzy,
I'm here.
On the
scale the wall with me. Okay, so female athlete, someone who can jump high, basically, is what it comes down to, right? So who are the highest jumpers?
Rayman.
What's a name of a WNBA player? Pick one.
I don't know.
Diana Taurasi. Okay, yeah. There we go. And for my male athlete, someone I don't like, I would pick Derek Jeter.
Why?
Because I hate the Yankees, but he's a champion. I'll give him that.
You wouldn't go A-Rod?
No, fuck A-Rod.
Yeah.
Fuck A-Rod.
No. Hey, obscenity A-Rod.
Yeah, obscenity A-Rod.
We don't know when we're going on, when this
Although
is going
Jeter,
on.
I don't know,
so.
Jeter might try to put the moves on Susie, so it'd have to be someone...
Very true.
Well, let's pick someone who's, like, in a committed relationship.
Lance Armstrong? No, not him.
Yo, let's do Lance Armstrong as the male athlete.
I think he's a pretty good wheeler dealer as well.
I don't think he could love her the way I could.
Yeah, but he... Well, you can't. He could.
I have two times the love supply.
Okay. Okay, that might not be false, actually, because he did so many roids, right? Doesn't it sort of kill your swim count?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, okay. My turn. I'm going to go for female athlete, Jeannie Bouchard. I think you're just a gem. You're just awesome. You're a Canadian legend now. Probably, I think, the highest ranking female tennis player. Could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure of all time. You win a lot, and you seem like maybe we'd get along.
And that's what matters.
And that's what matters, because there's only so many people who I can say that about. Male athlete, John Wall. That's just easy.
Ooh.
Yeah. Storm the wall, it's John Wall. So I guess celebrity that I would not want on my team, I'm going to go with Lena Dunham of the show Girls.
Ooh.
Because she's a liar. She lied in her documentary. Autobiography. She claimed that she was molested as a child or something. Or not as a child, but as like a teen. And then she made up some description or some name even. I'm not even sure, but I'm going to still accuse her of something
just for
she
the
might
attention?
Not have even done. And, yeah, no, it just blew up in her face. And like, the guy's like, yeah, that never happened. And then she admitted, like, Like, yeah, okay, maybe it didn't. Maybe I fabricated that for the sake of the book.
Oh my god!
I don't want liars on my team.
Absolutely not.
But I guess in this case, I do want someone bad on the team. So Lena, John, Jeannie, let's talk.
I have a new replacement. I want Edward Snowden on my team.
Why is that?
Because he would be in Canada. He'd be extradited to the U.S. and you know he'd be brought to justice. For being the traitor that he is to my great nation.
All right, great. all right, who's got the next for your consideration here?
Omar, you do it. If you got one, because I don't really got
one. I got one. What's the funniest name you've heard in sports?
Oh,
easy here.
I think we're going to have the same answer.
No, I doubt it. NFL rookie this year for, I think, Cleveland Browns.
Ooh.
Barkevious Mingo.
Ooh, Barkevious.
Barkevious. Is funny, but Mingo is Mingo, just rolls Mingo off the tongue.
You picked the right league, but the wrong player. Yeah, you know who it is.
I think I know who it is
about
now.
My
yeah.
boy Clinton, haha, Dix.
That's his name.
No.
No.
Haha, Clinton Dix.
Is it?
Yeah, it's haha, Clinton Dix.
Oh, but see, that's even better.
I can see why that would be funny because it's got the appropriate reaction as his first name.
Yeah, no, you're right. I didn't even know his name. How about you, Omar?
I'd say the funniest name I've heard, probably Bastian Schweinsteiger, which literally translates his last name to the Pig Hunter. He's a World Cup and a Champions League winner, guys.
Schweinsteiger. Yeah, I remember hearing his name a bunch.
Yep.
In the World Cup.
Yep. I think Chelsea just gained a penalty. They won a penalty in the 5th minute in extra time.
I just want to point out this is actually going on tomorrow, so not much.
So not right
point,
now.
Yeah. Doing live updates of the game.
Okay.
But well, this is actually kind of neat. Is this?
This is live. Yeah.
All right, now you go, Sean, for your consideration.
All right, guys. Wait. Oh. Ooh. Chelsea scored. So if we were gonna do a Champions League of professors that you've had, but then, so a Champions League. I just mean if we were gonna do a tournament of professors that you had, but they were fighting to the death. Who would be your final four, and who would win?
Okay, my final four. This would be Carlos Gaitan. I took geobioscience with him. Okay. He seems like a stealthy guy, and he knows a lot about natural things, so maybe he'd use that as his advantage. I'd go Jeffrey Newman.
Good pick.
Yeah, I mean, you were killing me in class the whole time with your jokes, so maybe you would just... I don't know, prevail that way. Third person would be... I had a TA teach me French 102 once. I can't remember his name, but he was just enormous. He was a very, very large African-American guy, and he was, like super built. I think he would win outright. But, yeah, he's someone I wouldn't want to fight to the death with. I'd probably just kill myself sooner. The other guy I would pick,
doesn't
matter. Hugh Neary.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, but ultimately the TA, whose name I've forgot since, would win.
Your turn first.
Okay, well, I didn't think of the answer, so we'll just go on the fly.
All right.
Okay, well, in one corner you'd have Sir Robert Gateman. Just because he's a lady killer. So I think he would do well for himself. Who else? Let's see. I had a Australian math professor taught me differential calculus. I forget your name. I know other people have had him. He's still here, I think. The class average was 54. So that's pretty deadly.
That's deadly.
It's pretty deadly. I've never had Newman, but I talked to him once. Can I put him in?
Yeah, he's a beauty.
Yeah, no, he was...
I love that guy.
Yeah, he gave me a very stern talking to.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I'd rather not talk about it on the air.
Yeah, let's not.
And,
I don't even want to hear you talk about him that way.
Let me see. Number four. Let's go way back. Oh, I know. Sociology first year, I had this professor who really was into... conspiracy theories and Ooh. Feminism. She was a scary lady, so I think she would win. I think she would win just because she had crazy in her eye. Special, like, special crazy, not bad crazy.
Yeah, crazy's powerful, not always bad.
Yeah, it can be liberating.
All right, Omar, do you have an answer? We're we're running out of time here. Let's go.
Yeah, of course. Number one, Grinnell Frieda, negotiation professor. She just finds ways to do things. She's an Order of Canada. I think she'd kill a few people with her bare hands. You can see that. there's also... I'm going to see one of yours, Gateman. Gateman, I can see being a good fighter. He has a good car, too.
I think he'd probably fight dirty.
Yeah, I can see that. Definitely. Assume nothing, right?
Yeah, right, there you go.
number three would be Ratna. Ratna is a Shrestha? Legend. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
I had that guy.
I love him, too, yeah.
Big fan of him.
He showed up to the first class with a broken arm, you know. God knows where that was from.
There you go. Yeah. Right there.
You should have seen the other prof.
And my fourth professor, who would I choose? I take my African studies professor from this semester. He's a music genius.
Really?
And he seems to, you know, be able to survive in such surroundings, his instincts.
He'll beat music.
He'll beat music.
Music's just the first victim.
So who would win outright?
Negotiation professor. She's 79.
Oh.
I think she can do it.
All right. Well, best of luck, hypothetically speaking. that's about it for the show. We got a couple of birthdays to read off here from this past week or in the next couple of days here. Brian Boss, happy 50th. Or sorry, Brian Bosworth, the boss.
Mm-hmm.
Just a legend in his NCAA. Probably the best linebacker ever. He's ferocious. He played so hard that he threw out his shoulders by the time he got to the NFL.
Drogba?
Yeah.
Oh, happy 37th birthday to Didier Drogba.
Actually playing right now.
Just earned the penalty for his team.
Legendary. Legendary.
Absolutely. All right. Here you go, Omar. You can read one.
Sir Mitt Romney. Happy 67th birthday. Looking forward to seeing you again in 2016. Or not.
Maybe. You never know.
We'll see.
And Daryl Strawberry, happy 53rd. Hall of Fame first baseman, I think.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Played for the Mets, right?
Definitely played baseball. And he was on one of the best episodes of The Simpsons ever. Anyhow, that's all we got for today. So, Omar, thanks for coming on.
Oh, my pleasure.
Pleasure. Sean, thanks for being here.
Yeah.
And we're gone. Turn the mics off. Yo, yo. Yo, yo. Yo, yo. Yo, yo. This your man. Boys to 5'9". This your dude, Crooked Eye. Man, jump off Joe Beezy. Yo, all OT. Yeah, Ray, no, slaughter. No niggas, get your weight up. Fuck y'all, pay up. My balls just as slick as my dick and both stay up. Nicer than me, say what? Wait up, straight up. I finish niggas right off the back like a layup. I seen a lot of come, I seen a lot of go. But y'all know where I'm from. BR00, you know the rest pimping. Yeah, I was bred different. Here come pops with the NY pop.